This is Chapter 12, Part 2 of The War on Waste Paradox by Len Bertain, read by Len Bertain. Phil said, "I get excited when someone can see what's going on. Thank you very much, Mr. Grimes. Maybe as we can proceed, we can make a believer out of Tony." Tony stood up and joked, "I believe, Phil. I believe." Phil continued, "With my conversion record, we ought to go into the religion business. Anyway, let's continue." Phil went to the overhead projector and showed us the following breakdown of the setup. On the left, it showed external setup, and on the right, internal setup. There were a total of 195 minutes for external setup and 225 for internal setup. It took 80 minutes to find the tools, 80 minutes to set the tool offsets, 15 minutes to find the programmer, and 20 minutes to find the inspector. The internal setup consisted of 25 minutes for teardown, 30 minutes for clean the machine, 15 minutes to load the program, 30 minutes to correct the program and adjust, 25 minutes to load the tools, 25 minutes for the first article, 30 minutes for the first article inspection, 15 minutes for program correction, 30 minutes first machine article inspection again, 30 minutes for first article inspection, and start the job. So in all, there is a potential savings of over 3 hours in the machine stoppage by just planning your work differently. We call the separation part of SMED because once you separate internal an external setup, you get a handle on how much overhead there is in the process. As a way of illustrating, let's look at programmer time in this process. If you let the programmers know you have a job closing down in the next hour, they can plan their work to accommodate you. You can reduce your setup time to a little over 4 hours. That is a 43% reduction in the setup time by planning your work more intelligently. Do you guys see what I mean? It looks to me like you guys can take the bet from Dr. Elby with no problem. Any comments? Tony said, "That's really amazing. We can save that time? I can't believe it. Why have we been so stupid?" Mr. Grimes stood up again. "Tony, your people aren't stupid. If anyone was stupid, it was me, because I established a system that didn't allow you to have any input. Even if you had come up with the idea of using SMED, we wouldn't have allowed your input." Mr. Grimes looked at me. "I really thank you for collecting this information for us. Thanks again. I see how we can fix this place. It's starting to make sense." As I looked at the overhead, I was amazed. When I looked at the process like this, I really saw how we could make some improvements. When Dr. Elby asked me some time ago whether I could improve any performance, I never thought it would come like this. It was so simple. We could easily reduce setup time by over half. It would take only a few easy changes in the way we did things. Phil went on. "You can see from this sheet that we haven't eliminated any steps. We have, however, greatly reduced the setup time by simply dividing the time into two groups. Internal setup, which can only be done when the machine is stopped, and external setup, anything that can be done outside the machine while it is still running. This is a pretty simple process. In the days of cheap labor and relatively inexpensive machinery, setup was not as critical to plant survival as it is today. Now, it can really make the difference between a company making or losing money. It isn't going to solve all your problems, but it lets you breathe a little while you try. As you drive setup time, a whole bunch of other problems are going to surface throughout the plant. Batch sizes will change. Assembly procedures will also have to change. You'll begin to have problems with your suppliers. I know this sounds like you're opening Pandora's box, and in a way it is. Every solution is tomorrow's problem as you strive for continuous improvement. We haven't finished your SMED training yet. Consider this. Can you simplify the previous internal setup step? You have 255 minutes of internal setup. Let's think about what this is telling us. If you now have a setup that is half of the previous setup, what does that tell you? Gus was getting interested, and he said, well, if you reduce the setup by half, you don't need to make as many parts as before to break even. I see that if we needed to make 1,000 parts to break even before, we'd probably need even fewer parts now, maybe only 500. Phil acknowledged this positive input from Gus. Right on, Gus. That is your name, isn't it? Gus nodded. Phil went on. The actual formula to figure the right size to break even is called the economic order quantity, or EOQ. So we know that if we reduce setup, well, we'll reduce the economic order quantity. We can plug in the new setup time into the economic order quantity equation, and you'll get a good handle on the lot size required to break even. Don't get me distracted. Let's go back to the basics of SMED. Dr. Elby or someone else will get you into the EOQ stuff. Let's see what we have here. After we separate internal from external setup, we try to simplify internal setup. Any ideas how we can do that? Jim was quite engrossed in the discussion, but hadn't said very much. Then he said, Phil, I think we could simplify internal setup a lot just by paying attention to the fact that we're measuring it. Once we start measuring the setup details, I'm sure we will have all kinds of ideas on how to simplify the process. It will just come to us. I had to agree with that. When Dr. Elby was talking about the Hawthorne effect, he was implying something like that. I think I would pay more attention if I knew I was being measured. Jim went on that list in front of us, I bet we could take those first two steps and cut the 55 minutes to no more than 20 minutes. 55 minutes is way too long. Jim looked in my direction, and he asked, do you agree with that, or am I just being optimistic? I thought a second and said, Jim, I wasn't even paying attention to what I was doing. I think if I did, I could do it in 20 minutes without too much pressure. I could probably cut it to 5 minutes if I had a cart to put the tools in that I removed from the machine. You know, I'm talking about a cart with a holder for each of the tools. I saw something like that in one of the tooling magazines. We could probably make one up in about an hour by using some plywood. It would fit neatly on one of the shop carts that we already have. Mr. Grimes said, that's a good suggestion, Jim. Take that suggestion and make it work. Have one cart bring him his tools, another one take them away. I bet that'll work. Give it a try and see what happens. Mr. Grimes leaned back in his chair with his hands behind his head as if he had just climbed Mount Everest. This is fun, he said. Keep up the good work, Phil. Phil immediately responded, hey, these aren't my ideas. They were his and Jim's, as he pointed to Jim and me. So I hope you guys and gals are getting the drift of this. Everyone said they were. What was amazing in this whole process was that everyone, including Roland and Buck, were paying close attention. Phil went on. After you go through the second step of the SMED process, simplification, then you look at the third step, and that is all you have to do to optimize internal setup. Remember, there are three steps to SMED: to separate the external from the internal, to simplify the internal, and then to optimize. By optimize, I mean things like quick changeover devices. A good example is the ball lock. Phil explained that a ball lock is a good device to fasten a vise into position on the machines to very tight tolerances. A ball lock allowed you to lock a plate into position on a milling machine bed by merely turning a hex nut 1/4 of a full turn. The quarter turn allows locking by the operators to change the plates and vises very quickly on the machines. He thought that 0.002 inches repeatedly for a vise fastened in position with 4 ball locks was very reasonable. Then Phil broke up the class, and Gus and Tony and several other people hung around to talk about the ball lock. Phil had a couple of samples for everyone to play with, and play they did. It was fun to see everyone interested in learning about these things. When we went out to the shop, Gus and Tony came over to my machine and talked about how they could develop a system for quick changeover using the ball locks. They were convinced that they could do this and convert all the machines in the plant over a weekend. Whatever it was, Gus and Tony and Buck and all the employees, who were usually pretty negative, were suddenly showing interest. They were convinced that quality pump could be saved, and they were going to lead the change. Chapter 12, Insights. SMED has application in just about all businesses. We did a project at a hospital that was planning to expand their facility. They were going to raise $6 million for this new hospital wing. When we did a SMED analysis on surgery, we found that they were using the surgery rooms for only about 20% of their capacity. For instance, when a surgery was completed, there was usually a two-hour wait before the next surgery could begin in that room. The doctors, in their unique tribal knowledge system, wanted to be businessmen on top of being doctors. After all, they were highly educated. As a group, they didn't want to spend more than $10 per hour to have the room cleaned up. When I suggested that they put a surgery cleanup crew together, the doctors argued that it was too expensive. Then I asked them if they knew how much revenue was made from that room per hour. When they thought about spending $50 for an hour's worth of work for a team of cleanup personnel versus $2,000 of revenue that could be generated, it was a no-brainer to make that decision. They followed the SMED process in detail and it worked. Can you think of any other applications of SMED in your business? That's the end of Chapter 12. Look forward to reading to you in Chapter 13. Thank you very much.